Peter chapter number 1 tonight, 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to deal with some things tonight that every one of us in this room can identify with. And I was sitting on the platform just looking around at our congregation and thinking about all of you one by one and just knowing your life and all like that. I pray that what we say tonight will be a help to you and a blessing to you. I pray that maybe it'll help you go on for a little bit. We all need encouraging. We need God's help, and we need each other now more than ever. And I'm thankful tonight for the blessed book of God that helps us down life's road to understand some things that we may not understand and give us faith where we just understanding is not going to help, but faith will. And I want to just look at some things tonight, if you'll stand, to honor the reading of God's holy word. 1 Peter chapter number 1, we'll begin there tonight. We're going to look on over in Peter. And if you want to go ahead and pick up James, we'll look there just by means of introduction tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I am aware, I thought about this tonight as I was sitting there. I'm aware tonight that a lot of you are weary. We've had a lot of you go to the nursing home. Go to the nursing home this afternoon. that's an inside thing. Go to the nursing home, and I know that you're tired and weary, but I do feel like God would have us look at some things tonight out of 1 Peter chapter number 1. We want to begin there in verse number 1. Says Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's already got everything ready. He's got everything ready. Everything that's going to be revealed, God's already got it ready. He said, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein these things that are ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to bring your attention back to verse number 6 and verse number 7. In verses 3 through verse number 5, he's been talking about things that God has already got prepared for us. Some things that God has already readied for us that are ready to be revealed in the last time. He's talking about the fact that we are kept by the power of God. He's talking about a lot of heavenly things. But then all of a sudden, in verse number 6, he just, in the middle of the verse, he goes from heaven to thinking about things on the earth. He said, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to take these verses, and we're going to read some more in just a moment, and preach tonight just for a little while on the trial of your faith. the trial of your faith. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight we love you and thank you. We appreciate so much, Lord, this blessed book. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God, Lord, that will establish us and strengthen us. And Lord, how to build faith in all of our hearts. And I pray, Father, tonight that please, dear God, I beg you, Lord, from the bottom of my heart, that, Lord, you please touch me and anoint me tonight in a special way. Lord, on the behalf of the gospel of Jesus Christ and on the behalf of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I beg you tonight, Lord, to please touch me and enable me tonight, Lord, to be of help to your people. Lord, we're a needy people. Lord, I need you. But Lord, every person in this room needs you. Lord, we all go through things. And I pray and ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that God, you please touch us for a little while. And please do that great work of God within every one of us, Father. Lord, that we might leave different than the way we walked in. And Father, we thank you and love you for what you're going to do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask all of these things tonight. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We appreciate you standing. Peter, the author of this epistle tonight, is writing. You know Peter. You know Simon Peter. I know most of you are acquainted with who this writer is. Peter, one of the outspoken apostles, one of the outspoken disciples of the Lord, one of the inner three, and if you will, one of the main ones of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was that spontaneous disciple, that man that whenever Jesus Christ or anybody else would ever have a question, it would be Peter that would answer without even raising his hand. He would just blurt it out, and a very spontaneous individual. But not only was he spontaneous, he was a very stubborn individual too. Once Peter had his mind made up, it took a lot to ever change his mind. Can anybody identify with Peter tonight? I believe all of us have a little bit of stubbornness in us, and I know that I do. And I believe that's one of the reasons that God calls preachers, because we're stubborn. Amen and amen. Well, I thought some wives would be more vocal on that one. But Peter was a very spontaneous and a very stubborn individual, but yet he was very sinful also. I want to draw our attention to that tonight, because I believe a lot of times when we read about people in the Word of God, we forget that they were very much people just like you and I. There was nothing, they didn't have halos over their heads or wings or anything like that. They were just normal individuals just like you and I in this room, living at a different time, but very much sinners that's been saved, hallelujah, by the grace of God. And Peter was a very sinful person. But then I want you to understand that Peter was also anything but singular. Peter was the kind of man that no matter where Peter was or what Peter was doing, he always had a company of people around him. He always could attract. He was, if you will, a man's man. I mean, he was very much a man. And whenever Peter would go anywhere, there would be a group of men to follow Peter. Even if he backslid, people would follow Peter. And people was always accompanying themselves with Simon Peter. He was just that kind of man. People loved to be around this man by the name of Peter. And because of who Peter was and the way that Peter was, God had to do a lot of work in Peter's life. You know, it was Peter who denied the Lord 3 times, but then yet Jesus Christ met him on the shores of Galilee and 3 times questioned him about his love for the Lord. And he said, Simon Peter, do you love me more than all of these? And it was that same Peter that had to confess the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times after denying him 3 times, had to confess that he really did love the Lord. Well, in verse 6 and verse 7, Peter, I believe Peter is writing from the depths of his soul. I know that he's writing from experience. I know that Peter just enjoys and embraces the fact that once a person, hallelujah, once a person is saved, we are forever saved, kept by the power of God. And I know that Peter was just rejoicing in all the things that God has done for him and had waiting on the other side. Aren't you glad that this isn't it down here? But there is another side to all of this. And Simon Peter was thinking about all those things. But then Simon Peter had to be man enough to tell us about the sufferings that we all go through. And it was almost like Peter was rejoicing and thinking about heaven. But then he said this. He said, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. He went all the way from heaven and came down to the reality of where all of us in this room live tonight. All of us know what it is to have temptations and trials come our way. All of us know what it is to have manifold temptations. That word manifold means from, it seems like it'll never end. It seems like it's every time you turn a corner, there's another temptation, there's another trial, there's another heartache, another heartbreak. There's something else that we've got to go through. And it just seems like sometimes in our Christian life that it's always like that in our lives. You know what? A lot of times we get to thinking that we are the only ones that go through anything like that. But brethren, may I remind you tonight that every child of God knows what it is to have trials of our faith. We know what it is for God to touch us and to put His finger on our lives. Whenever one of the missionaries was here, he gave Debbie a book and it was entitled, When the Touch of God Hurts. And sometimes that touch of God in all of our lives is going to hurt our lives and break our lives. And it seems like we're just about to implode on the inside. It seems like we're just about to dissolve on the inside. And we wonder, God, why am I having to go through this now? Lord, what is this going on in my life? I'm going to tell you what it is tonight. It is a trial of your faith. Look over with me in chapter number 4 tonight. Peter further writing about this topic. Matter of fact, one of the greatest subjects of Peter is a subject of suffering. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he says in verse number 12, he said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He's evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let him not be ashamed. Oh, thank you, dear Lord. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You see, a lot of that writing tonight just does not compute with us when we're going through the suffering. He said there, he said, Think it not strange when you go through those fiery trials. He said, but rejoice. How many of us in this room, the last trial that you've been through, just lifted your hand toward heaven and said, thank God I'm going through it again. How many of us in this room, when we get in that point of our life where we feel like we're just about to die on the inside, is raised our hand and said, thank God, thank you, Lord, for this trial of my faith. But may I say this tonight, that they're a real part of every one of our lives. We all go through those trials of our faith. Why is it? Peter wrote this. He said, if need be, you're in heaviness. Why do we have to suffer? Why do we have to go through the things that we all go through. Why do you have to experience what you experience? Why do I have to experience the things that I've experienced? Why, Lord, why on God's green earth does every child of God have to face the heaviness of our lives? Well, I want to give you some things tonight. And I want you to look in James before we go any further. James also writes on this subject. And I want you to look at what James says. James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. James writing, and he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He said, greeting. He said, my brethren, listen to him now. Oh, could we write these words? Could we with pen and ink, could we write these words tonight? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see what all of these writers, Peter and James, is trying to get across to us. Brethren, I want to tell you tonight that when we are going through the trial of our faith, I want to remind you of this one reality tonight, that God is at work. God, our God, is at work. Our God is up to something. Our God is working in our lives when we go through the trials of our faith. I want to say four things about the trials of our faith, and I pray that God would help me tonight to get this thought across to where to be a help to every one of you that's in this room. I want to say, number one, that when we do go through those times of testings, those times of trials, and those times of breakings in all of our lives, number one, they will beckon us. You see, a lot of times in the Christian life, we get to going along in the Christian life, and boy, we got our King James Bible up under our arm, you know, and we're going along and everything just seems like it's just on our side, and we're on the mountaintop, and boy, we're just whistling the songs of Zion, and man, we're just going along our merry way. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that's what that word fall into temptation means. You don't fall into sin, but you will fall into a trial. You see, you make a decision to go into sin, but these trials, these temptations, we just fall into them. We find ourselves right in the middle of them, surrounded by them, and we wonder, Lord, how did this happen? Why did it wind up like this? God, what am I doing right here? Everything was going so good. Everything was looking so great. The sun was shining. The birds were whistling. The saints of God were shouting. People were getting saved. But God, now I just feel like I can't even get a prayer off of the ground. Now I feel like I've just forsaken. Everything on the inside of me is breaking and just falling apart. God, how did this happen in my life? They will have beckoned our attention. God sometimes has to get our attention. You've got to admit, a lot of times down here in this world, we get to going along and we get to going along pretty good and it gets going good. And I know that I've got to raise my hand and say that I'm guilty. Sometimes I just forget God. Sometimes I just forget the One. I get so involved in the blessings that I forget the One that is bringing the blessings into my life. I get to enjoying the blessings so good. I forget about the One that had to go to an old rugged cross to make it all possible. And I forget about the One that died for me. I forget about what He's done for me. And thank God tonight when He brings a trial in your life, He's getting your attention. He's getting your attention. They will beckon our attention, but they'll also beckon our affections. I want you to always remember this. Always remember this. Whenever you enter into a trial, whenever you enter into a temptation, your love for the Lord is on the line. Do you notice he said in our opening verses, he said, whom having never seen, you love. How can we explain to a world about God? We can't even produce Him. How can we show the world that there really is a God? I'm going to tell you how we can tonight. But when we go through the rough times, still love Him. When we go through the hard times, still love Him. Whenever we go through the trying times, just keep on loving the Lord Jesus Christ and letting Him know that you love Him more than you loved Him yesterday. And Lord, I want to love You more tomorrow. And just keep on loving the Lord. It'll beckon our affections. You remember it was the Lord asked Abraham. He said, Abraham, take thine son, thy only son Isaac, and take him to the mountain. And I'm going to see which one you love the most. And a lot of times God will bring afflictions and trials and temptations into our lives because God's wanting to put our affections on the line. He's wanting us to understand how much we really do love Him or how much we really don't love Him. He's wanting us to understand that I love this more than I really do love the Lord. And God's always, He's always wanting us. I don't understand this, but I'm so glad that it's true. He's always wanting me to prove to Him how much I love Him. He never has to prove how much He loves us. He proved it on an old rugged cross, but He keeps doing it over and over. I mean, He just keeps pouring the blessings out in all of our lives. But yet one thing He wants to know, do you love Me? Do you love the Lord? And those trials, they'll come our way so we can prove to the Lord that we really do love Him. Every time that you're put through a test, your love for the Lord is being put on display. That's what happened in Job's life. Satan came to the Lord and said, you build a hedge around him. You blessing him. Take that hedge down. He'll curse you. He'll be like the heathen. And God says, you own. I've got one that loves me. I've got one that loves me and is going to show you, Satan, that he loves me. I can't understand why he wants me to love him. But I want to love him more than I've ever loved him before. I want to prove to the Lord. I want God to know. I want this world to know. I want this church to know. I want my wife to know. I want my boys to know that I'm in love with Jesus Christ. I don't want to just wear a t-shirt saying so. I want my life to reflect that I love Jesus. That He means more to me than anything else in life. These trials have come our way to beckon our attention and our affections, but it'll beckon our actions. You see, the real you comes out up under a trial and pressure. The real you will be manifested. And I'll be honest with you. I've been up under some trials, and what came out, I didn't like. What came out of my life, I couldn't stand. When God brought it to the surface, you know, I believe this about Peter with all my life. I believe it. I believe this from the very top of my head to the bottom of my feet. When he looked at Jesus Christ and he told him, he said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'm ready to go to death for you. I'm ready to die by the sword. I believe that Peter meant it with all of his heart. He did not know what was on the inside, but there was one that did. And he didn't condemn him for what he said. He just put him in a trial and let it surface in Peter's life so Peter would know about it. May I say this tonight, that God sometimes puts us through a trial so that our real us will come out. It'll come out. It'll beckon our actions. Job was put through manifold temptations. And then to add insult to injury, three friends came by. Just told him how wicked he was. And the reason that he was suffering because you're a sinner. You sin, that's what's wrong with you, Job. That didn't help Job get through it at all. You know what he told him? He said, you're a bunch of miserable comforters. Those trials that we go through, number one, will beckon us. But then I want to say secondly, and this is what we don't like, they will break us. I don't know of any person in this room that likes to even think about God taking our lives and breaking it in two. But I want to give you a law of life. Not only is it a law of life, but it's a law of the Lord. That God only uses broken things. It's those broken things that God has always used. It was a broken roof that God used to get a palsied man down to in front of Jesus. It was broken bread that Jesus used and blessed to be able to feed 5,000. It's always been the broken things in life that God has always used. May I remind you tonight that it was the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we're even saved tonight, because somebody else got broken on our behalf. It was the broken body of Jesus Christ. He looked at those disciples and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. He didn't say it's broken because of my sin. He was being broken for you and for I tonight. And God always, always, always uses broken things. And I'm going to say it tonight. I'm going to say it. God, if that's what it takes to use my life, God, break me and make me usable for the glory of God. It's the breakings of God that God can get more out of your life. Sometimes we feel like we're being absolutely crushed and broken. But God's breaking us so He can get more out of our lives. He'll break our ways. We get to going along a certain way, and God will break that way in half because He knows what's ahead. He knows what's going on. I remember reading a story years ago in Houston, Texas. Downtown Houston was undergoing a complete renovation in downtown Houston. And a lot of the old dilapidated buildings were being torn down. The bulldozers would be out there and they'd be reaching over there with those hooks and they'd be tearing those things down. Well, First Baptist Church, right across the street from First Baptist Church, was an old dilapidated YMCA building. And somebody came over there one day and told them, said, in a few weeks, that old building's going to be tore down. Somebody's bought it and they're going to build a new high rise, a new skyscraper right there where that old YMCA building was sitting. And so they kept looking out the windows at First Baptist Church and they'd look across the road. What, nothing going on. There was nothing happening. They boarded up the windows and it was just sitting there, just an empty-looking building. And they would look out those windows and they'd look out there every once in a while and think, well, I remember they told us it's going to be tore down. And they'd look out the windows and nothing was happening. And finally one day, somebody came over there to First Baptist Church and they told them, said, this coming Saturday, that building's coming down. And they said, well, we're going to go and see it. So that Saturday they gathered up and they gathered all around. They expected to see the bulldozers and machinery pull up and nothing ever happened. There was no bulldozers, there was no machinery, there was nothing. And all of a sudden they felt this rumbling, they heard this great explosion. Boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden that building just came falling down on itself and imploded. And what they did not know, they thought that they were going to see the outside evidence of it being torn down. But they didn't know that people were working on the inside and specialists were setting off dynamite explosives and inside that building and gutting that building so no projectiles would be projected when they exploded it. And they didn't know what they thought was going to happen on the outside never happened. It was all happening on the inside. And may I say this tonight, that a lot of times that's what God's doing in our lives. And we feel like we're about to explode. But God knows what He's doing with His children. He knows what He's doing in your life. He knows what He's doing in my life. Thank God I'm in the hands of a master builder. And He knows what He wants out of my life. He knows what He wants out of your life. Your life may be dilapidated and ready to come down. But I guarantee you God will build something greater in His place. Hallelujah. They'll break our ways and our wills, break our plans, our priorities, our prayer life will change. Thank God He does know how to get our attention. Because when He gets our attention, then we're interested in getting His attention. It'll break our weaknesses. I got to thinking about this today. I was sitting here at the house after me and Miss Deb went out to eat. Sometimes we look on weaknesses as just that, a weakness. And I'll be honest with you. I've looked at some of the weaknesses I've got, and I wish I felt just wonderful in the body, but I can't say that. I think about the weaknesses that I have. And I see them as hindrances. And I think about the weaknesses and the things that I go through physically, and I see them as weaknesses. But God's not looking at it like that. And I was reminded of something today as I was sitting there thinking about weaknesses. It was the year 2000. And there was a little church up here in North Georgia that was going through a broken process, being broken by God. And God was a working on Murrayville Baptist Church. And at the same time in South Georgia, there was a preacher that God was breaking in South Georgia. And God took two weak things, two broken things, put two broken things together. And Lord God, how He's even got out of us what He's gotten out of us. Only God could do what He's done. Only God. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, you may feel like, oh, I'm so weak. May I say that in the eyes of the Lord, that's a strength for Him. That's where He can enter in and be strong. Aren't you glad tonight that when we're weak, He is strong. It's not up to us. It's all up to our God tonight. Thank God it's Him tonight. It's Him. They'll beckon us. They'll break us. I won't tell you about your trials. They'll beautify you. They'll make you more beautiful. The more God breaks you. Make us more sensitive. Say, Brother John, how on earth can breaking ever make anything pretty? And make us more sensitive to the Spirit of God. God, begin that breaking on the inside of your life. Get to breaking that will. Get to breaking your ways. Get to breaking your wisdom. Get to breaking all that stuff that you got built up in you through years of neglect and years of rebellion. And God, begin working and breaking all of that stuff on the inside of you. You get to realizing I can't do this without Him. You get to realizing there ain't no way. There ain't no way I'm about to step behind a pulpit without going to Him first. There ain't no way I'm about to get up and sing in a choir without going to Him. There's no way I'm going to lead a Sunday school without going to Him first. I can't do it. And it'll make you more sensitive to the Lord. And you'll get to being led by the Spirit of God more than you've ever been led by. You know what? We need a good dose of being led of the Spirit of God. We need a good dose of being filled with the Spirit of God. We need a good dose of Holy Ghost power working in our lives again. We need a good dose of God manifesting His power in the churches again. They'll beautify us. Dr. DeHaan, M.R. DeHaan, he's going on to be with the Lord, wrote a book years ago, and the title to that book is Broken Things. If you don't have it in your library, preachers, get it and put it in your library. Read it before you put it there. And in that book, he talks about the necessity of breaking. Why it is necessary for God to break up our lives. And he opens up with a text out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4 and verse number 3, where God says this, break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. And he all the way through that book, he talks about how God always uses broken up things to be able to produce anything of worth. You know what fallow ground is? Fallow ground is ground that is permitted to sit idle and uncultivated. Instead of producing grain and fruit, the land becomes covered with weeds and thorns. And so God says, that's the ground that I'm going after. That's the ground, that fallow ground. That fallow ground that's not producing anything for my glory. That's what I'm going to begin breaking up in your life. Because I want fruit to be born out of your life. There's a law, I'm going to say it again. There's a law of life that God only uses broken things. You know, brokenness, we shouldn't think it to be such a strange thing. Broken things begins when we're infants. Broken things begin when we're a child. We experience broken things as a little toddler, and our toy breaks. We pitch a fit and cry because of a broken thing. But all of us in this room, we know what it is to have broken things. And our lives are a multitude of broken things. Broken relationships, broken dreams, broken hopes, broken plans, broken dreams that we dreamed would come true and they never did come true. Just one broken thing after another, and we wonder, Lord, why is it so like that? Why is it so broken? I have visions, I have dreams, and I can just see this place packed. And I wonder sometimes, God, why don't it come to pass? And just the brokenness of those dreams. And every one of us in this room, we know what it is to experience broken things. A broken heart. A broken mind. Broken emotions. Broken feelings. And sometimes our feelings get so broke we can't even feel God anymore. And we wonder, Lord, why? Why are we feeling, why are we experiencing all of this brokenness in our lives? Broken ideas, broken relationships. God wants to break our spirits. So not only do we be sensitive to the Spirit of God, but we can be sensitive to somebody else that's going through it. I'm guilty. We get going through life sometimes. We go through what we go through. We just try to hold it in. And we're good at this. I'm doing good. Everything's great. Praise the Lord. Amen. We get going along there and a whole time on the inside. we're dying. But we're trained to do that. And a leader, I'm trained. I'm a leader. I'm trained to be that way. A pastor can't get up there and show his emotions. Pastor can't go through a devastation thing, get up there and pour that devastation out to the... We're trained that way. We go through all this brokenness on the inside. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, we get a little bitter. Because somebody else, they can just pour it out. And there we are, we having to hold it on the inside. We get a little bitter and we get a little insensitive with what somebody else is going through. And I look out here at the faces, I look out at what y'all are going through. And I know what some of you are going through. Some of you, I don't even have a clue. But I know this one thing. I know that every one of us in this room are going through things. And on the inside, you got things on the inside of you right now. I can say this without a shadow of a doubt. You got things going on the inside of you right now in your life, in your family, in your home, in your business, in your work, in your job, in your situation, in all of these things that's going on in your life. You got things on the inside that's literally just breaking you on the inside. And sometimes I have to be honest. God allows me to go through some things that I go through. Just to remind me, there's others going through it too. Just so I won't get so insensitive to what people are going through. Just so I won't get so insensitive that I can't go down to an altar with someone and put my arm around them and pray for them and say, "Brother, I understand. Let me pray with you." We all go through things and our breakings will beautify. Beautify our spirits. It'll beautify our shouts. God bring you through something. You get on the other side of it and you want to be saying glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful tonight of the through ministry of the Lord? Aren't you glad He'll take you through some things? He don't get halfway through something and then He'll leave you and say, bye-bye, you get yourself out of this thing. He goes all the way through. Whatever it is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art ever with me. Our trials, they'll beckon us. They break us. They beautify us. But then I want to say this. They will bless. That's why Peter wanted to write and remind us. Rejoice. Are you being broken tonight? You know what that means? That means God is at work in your life. That means God is busy on your life. And it means this, that God's going to use your life. Because others will benefit from our breakings. I want to remind you of this. Because of the breaking of Abraham, Isaac was given to God. He said, "Give me your son." And it broke Abraham's heart. And he went and gave Isaac. And he gave his son to the Lord. Joseph blessed his deceitful brothers because he was broken. Job prayed for his friends. Because he was broken. Paul wrote for us most of the New Testament because he was broken. And Jesus saved our souls because he was broken. Others will be blessed because of your breakings. I don't understand how God puts all this stuff together and fits all the pieces together. And it's just a broken piece over there and a broken piece there and a broken and a little broken piece there. And He puts all those broken pieces together. And we all make a whole and bless each other's lives. I want to make a statement tonight. The older I get, the less concerned I become of what I have or have not done, and the more concerned I become what I have or have not become. It's not what I do or don't do that's really important. It's what I've become or have not become that's important to the Lord. Because I can do a lot of stuff in the wrong spirit and the wrong way and the wrong motive and do it all the wrong stuff. I can do it all for my glory. We can build a great work and all for the glory of man. But I'm more concerned with what I have or have not become. I want to be all that He wants me to be. Sister Tab, if you'll come to the piano tonight. Have you ever thought about this? I was thinking along these lines, been thinking about them a lot here lately. Been going through some personal battles and things that I go through as a pastor, as a husband, and you get to wondering things. But I get to wondering, Lord, had you not brought this stuff into my life, what would I be today? Where would I be today? If you hadn't have kept your hand on me and kept breaking me on the inside, Lord, where would I be? I get to thinking about some things that there's some issues in my life. I promise you this. I think about them every day of my life. I try not to sometimes, and I try to avoid even thinking about it. But every day of my life, there it is. And it breaks my heart. But I wonder, Lord, would I even be what I am today had it not been for You using that part of my life to break me? I get to wondering, Lord, where would I be had You not broken me? And I just have to raise my hand and say, Lord, I want to thank You. As Stacy and them sang tonight, I can honestly say He's good to me. Everything that I've ever been through, my God is good to me. And the things that He's using in your life tonight, at this very moment in your life, there's a reason of God behind it. He's making something out of your life that He's going to use to bless others and bless your life. One day He's going to set us on the up there in glory. He's going to set us and say, look what I did by grace. And He's going to have all of us sitting up there. And He's going to take the angels and say, look at them. That's what I did. I did that to them. I brought them through all of that horrible stuff. You've got wings. You've got harps. They didn't have that. Look what I did for them. God's going to do that for us. I know sometimes it gets discouraging, but sometimes it does us well to get back in the book of God. He said, when you go into that, rejoice. Because God's working. As we stand tonight,